Begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis daf Mem Hei. Beginning on the bottom line of Mem Dalma Beis, where the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, the series of Mishnais in this parak of Mumen Elu, that these are blemishes that apply to a person, specifically a kohen doing the Aveda, in contrast to that of a behema, which are only bona fide Mumen. Here we're talking about even those that are just in the Shavu Bezar Shel Aaron. It's just different than the regular type of a person, hence not valid to do the Aveda as a kohen. So the Mishnah says, Makish Bekarsulov, if what's called bow-legged, if his knees are bending outward and his ankles are bending inward, and therefore his ankles bang together when he walks, or of arkavaisav, or if it's actually his knees that are knocking together, called knock-kneed, which is the exact opposite, which is that actually his legs are bending outward and further out until his knees on the top are bent towards inwards and they're banging into each other when he's walking. So these two are considered blemishes. As a ketin tab of memheim and alf, or ubal hapikim, which is the person of the whorl, which is a type of a round tool used in spinning thread, as the Mishnah will explain, or ho'ikul, which is that's warped. As the Mishnah explains, these two, what they're referring to is ezo ho'ikul. Kol shuhu makiv parsaisav, any person that when he's sitting and he's keeping his feet together one near the other, but his knees are not banging and touching one the other because they're bending outward. That's warped. That's a mum. And pika, what that's referring to is if he has a piece of flesh that's round like this wall, that's yetz megaydela that comes out of his big toe. Again, that's not shav bizar shal aaron. That's going to be considered a mum for a kain. Or akeva yetzel achirav, if his heel goes out from behind, which as the Gemara is going to explain, what it means to say is if his leg is actually in the middle of his foot, where half his foot is sticking out in the front as normally, but half is sticking out in the back. Or parseser v'chavis kishal avas, or the bottom of his foot is wide like that of a goose, which is it's thin like that of a goose, and its length is not more than the width. Or etzba'isav merkavis zu'alzu, or his fingers are laying one on the other, a klutes, or if they're closed together. But, says the Mishnah, if lamala ad haperek, if it's only on the upper part until the middle joint, then it's going to be kasha, because it's only halfway. Now, and even more so, says the Mishnah, lamata min haperek, even if it's below the joint, meaning it's all the way towards the end of the toes being connected to the fingernail, we're totally attached, but v'chatacha, but he then cut them that it's separated, then kasha, it's going to be kasha. Now, says the Mishnah, if he had an extra finger, v'chatcha, and he cut it off, so im yesh ba'etzim, if it had a bone, so then pasul, he's going to be pasul, because since he cut that off, so he's like what's called mechusar eiver, it's like he's missing a limb, which he had, although it was an extra finger, but it was a limb because it had a bone, therefore that would be a mum. But vimlav, if it didn't have a bone, then kasha is going to be kasha because it's only considered like just a hanging piece of flesh and it's not considered like an aver that would invalidate. Now, continues the Mishnah, yeser beyadav uberaglav. Let's say he had an extra finger on his hands and his feet, sheish, instead of having five on each, he had six on each, which is a total of esrim va'arba, which the Gemara is going to explain where it's the Mishnah is using the terminology of a pasuk, where there was such a person that had six extra on each, which makes for a total of 24. Now, so when there's this extra finger, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, he says it's kasha, v'cham pais, v'cham say it's invalid. Now, additionally, the Mishnah ends off, hasher m'shtei yadav, someone that is equal in his ability to utilize both hands, called ambidextrous. So Rebbe Paisley says that's a mum. Bachshim the Chum say no, he's kosher. Now Tarnabon Linda Bryce explained the halachas of a Mishnah. Says in the pasuk that's considered a mum is sheva regel if he has a broken leg. Says the Bryce ainly el sheva regel. I would only know if he has a broken leg. Minayin l'rabbis hekishan, which Rashi says that's referring to the one of which we opened up in the Mishnah. Hamakish b'karsulav if his ankles knocking together. Or v'ha'ikl, which was on the top of this amid, which we said if his legs are together but his knees not touching. Or v'ha'kilban, which Rashi says that's the one called pika, which this whorl-sized ball that comes out of his big toe. How do we know that these are also mumen? Tamalema, oi. The pasuk there starts of, or a person that will have in it, shever egel, a broken leg, the extra letter oi, tells us this letter oit, this word oit, tells us to include these other blemishes related to the feet. Moreover, Tanu learned the Braisa, Baal and the Gir says obviously Hapikin, but Hashufner, these are also Mumin. Now, Amr Chibra Abba Amr Biyechanan says, what's this Baal Hapikin? It's Sheyeshle Kesasis Harba. It's that his istamara, which is referring to the ankle, is very large. That's a Mum. And Shufner is the opposite. Sheinle Kesasis Kol Iker, where he doesn't have any ankles, that those are considered blemishes. Now, the Mishnah said, Pikum, this wall, the Ziyetz Megadoli is coming out of his big toe. And we said, Vakeva Yezitz Lacharv, if his heel comes out and sticks out in the back. Now, Amr Belossi explains, as we had mentioned this, that Sheika Yeitze Be'emtze Ragli, that his thigh is coming out in the middle of his foot, which means to say that it's not like a normal person that's only sticking out in the front, but him it sticks out in the front and the back. The Mishnah said, Parseisav Ruchavis Kishalavis, and if the bottom of his feet is wide, like that of a goose, that's a Mum. Now, Amr Puppy qualifies as, Leitema de Trif of a Leisadika. You don't have to say that it has two problems of the foot of a goose, that it's flat and that it's not split, because rather it's webbed. No, Elikivin de Trifa, as long as this person's foot is flat, like a goose, Afagav de Stika, even though it is separated, that would still be considered the blemish of having a foot like a goose and not being able to do that. Now, moreover, the Mishnah said, if the fingers are riding one on top of the other, instead of being side by side, or if they're connected together, that's a mum. Tanabon Linda Braisa that brings, that says in that pasuk, Shever Yad, if he has a broken hand. Says the Braisa, Ein Leila Shever Yad, I would only know if a broken hand is considered mum. It's Ba'is Mukavis Lamala, but if the fingers are riding one on top of the other, or if they're connected together above the part of the joint, and then he cuts it off, which Rashi points out that in the Brice when it says Lamala is the same thing when it says Lamata in our Mishnah, which means to say that it's not only halfway through, it's connecting the whole finger together all the way to the end of by the fingernail, and that you cut it off. How do I know that's also considered mum? Which the Gemara jumps in and asks, what do you mean? V'amar kasher. In the Mishnah he said that if you cut it, even though it was connected all the way to the end, then it's actually going to be kasher. Ella rather amends the Gemara. No, what the Braisa was saying, v'loi chatcha minayin. If it wasn't cut, but it was connected all the way, the fingers, one with the other, not only halfway to the joint, but all the way to the end, that it's considered mum, tamalema oy shever yad, where the pasuk says, or a broken hand, where again the extra word oy comes to include these other related movement regarding the hands, regarding this, if it's colored or if it's reichvis, one on the other. The Mishnah said, hoisiba yiseris v'chatcha. He had an extra finger, and he cut it off. So imyesh ba'etz and pasul. If he had a bone, that's pasul, because now he's mechusar eiver. V'imlav kasher, but if he didn't have a bone, so then it's like it was just an extra piece of flesh, and the fact that he cut it off didn't make any mum. Now, Amar Rabba Babachana Amar B'yichna, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, and the girsa is, of that we have by Rashi, is ubin nisperis al gav hayad. We're talking about that this extra finger was counted amongst together with all the other fingers, where it was in the same order, in the same row as one has in the person's regular hand. That's where the Mishnah said that it's going to be considered a limb, where it's going to be then considered a blemish if one cuts it off. But if it wasn't together with the rest, then that wouldn't be considered an aver, to be considered a mechusar aver. Similarly, Tanabon Linda Braisa. Yiseira sheyeshpa etzim ve'eba tziparin. If there's an extra finger that has a bone, and it doesn't have a fingernail, which that's an added chiddush, where even though it didn't have a fingernail, it's still considered an aver if it's, as we're going to qualify, nisperis im al gabayad, if it's together with the rest of, in the order of the rest of the fingers. So even though it doesn't have a fingernail, but if there's an extra finger that had a bone, says the Braisa, metame b'magu u'b'masit, contaminates with, as from a dead person, if it's touched or if it's carried, u'metame b'oil, and it even contaminates if it's in the same oil as somebody else. Now, as Rashi points out, it has to be talking about that this extra finger had a little bit of flesh, but not a kezias, not an olive-sized piece of flesh. Why? Because if it would have had a kezias abasa, then even if it wasn't nisperis al gavayad, as we're going to qualify that it has to be that it was talking about that it's in the same order as the other fingers, then even if it wasn't nisperis, or even if it didn't have a bone, which the Braisa was saying it has to be told that it has a bone, it would still be metama ba'ayil. Because a kezias from the mess, an olive-sized piece of flesh from a dead person, is metama ba'ayil. So obviously we have to be talking about that there's not a kezias abasa. Now additionally, if it didn't have any buster at all, then even if it was nisperis agabayad, that it would be considered an aver, it still would not be metam b'ayil. Because if it didn't have flesh, all it would be a bone. And a bone is not metam ba'oil, unless, as we're going to shortly quote, if it's roiv binyan or roiv minyan or roiv akav, if it's the majority of the structure or the quantity of the bones of a person, or at least a quarter akav, which this finger is not. But now that there's a little bit of flesh, it's metam ba'oil, where even though it doesn't have a kezias, but since, as we're going to qualify, it's nesperes agaviyat, it's together to order the other fingers, it's considered an aver, it's considered a limb, which has to have bone and flesh. Whereas the Gemara says in Nida Daf Mem Gimel and Beis that limbs don't have a measurement, even if it's less than the kezias from an avel or less than the kezias from the mes, it contaminates in the oil. So therefore, that's what we're talking about with this extra finger. Now, moreover, continues the Braisa, if there isn't flesh, va'ayla l'minin kafchafei, that then it's added to the number of 125. Which is the majority of the quantity of the limbs of a dead person, because the limbs of a person in Talmudic literature is 248, ramach, and the majority of the number of a mes is metame ba'il. So even if it didn't have basar, but it would still be counted, although it's an extra finger, it would be considered as part of that being the majority of the bones, of the limbs. Now, how on this qualifies, as we had said in the previous halacha, Amr Rabbi Bochanu Amr B'yechnan, says, Ubin Nisperes Agav Ayad. It's talking about that this extra finger is counted amongst the other fingers of that is in the regular fingers of the hand. Because if it would not be in the order of the same row of the other fingers, then it wouldn't be considered an aver, a limb, since it doesn't have a fingernail. So since it would be missing those two things, then it wouldn't have this halacha of being Metame B'yoyl. Additionally, Amr Rav Chizdi says, "Davazir Rabin Hagadol Amr." This thing, our great teacher, referring to Rav, said, "Hamakam Yibezra Hashem should be assisting him." That Yiseris Sheyesh Ba'etzim Ve'ibat Ziparin, there's an extra finger that doesn't have a bone, that has a bone but doesn't have a fingernail. So Metama B'Mago B'Masa, it contaminates by touching and by carrying from a dead person. But Ve'ainim Metama B'Oil, but it does not contaminate in oil. Now, here, same idea, Amr Rabbi Bochanan Rabbi Yechanan, he explains, what do you mean, didn't we say before the same halacha that it's metame ba'il? So he says, because ubisha ain't in the spares like avayad. Here, this halacha Rav is talking about when it's not in the order of the other fingers on the hand. Well, here you have two things going against it. It doesn't have a fingernail, so that would tell us that it's not a limb, it's not a regular finger, and it's also not in the spares like avayad. Because if it did have a fingernail, then it actually would be metaman oil, even if it wasn't nispres lagavayad, as the Gemara says over there, needed of mem tesam and alf. And so too, if it didn't have a fingernail, but it was nispres lagavayad, then it would be metam oil. But since it doesn't have a fingernail, and it's not nispres lagavayad, therefore it's only going to be metame b'maga b'masa, and not boil. Now, however, in this halacha, Amar B'yechanan, which the Gersois tell us that to be goyish Reb Chanina, because the question seems to be going on Reb Yechanan and on Rav, he asks, Asu divreim kedivrei nevius. Rav and Reb Yechanan made their words, their teaching, like words of prophecy, where they don't have to give a reasoning for prophecy. That's just the word of God that's coming through them. Because they don't give a reason for like a prophet doesn't give the reason for those who are listening to them. So too, they didn't give a reasoning, an understanding for their opinion. Because Manav Shach says, either way, it's hard to understand this teaching of Rav. And that is, E Avrahu, if this extra finger, which again, Reb Yechanan qualified, is not on the order of all the other fingers. If it's considered a limb, so boil nami tetame, then should contaminate even the oil. V'ilave, and if it's not considered a limb, because like we said, two things going against it, so then b'mago b'masa namelu tetame, so then it shouldn't contaminate even by touching or by carrying, if it's not an aver. So how do we, and it doesn't have a kezias basa, so how do we understand this, that it's contaminated? So Amar Rav Huna b'Amanoich Mishmei Rav Acha B'Reid Rav Ikra, he says Mishum Etzem Kesa'ir Nagubo. You're right. It's not because of Aver. It's not an Aver, and there because it doesn't have a fingernail, and it's not on the order of the other fingers, but simply because it has a. We said it's a case of Yeshba Etzem. It's because it's a bone the size of a barley corn from a dead person that contaminates by touching and by carrying, which does not contaminate the oil, and therefore has that halacha. Or another interpretation of Papa, he says, no, it's you're right. It's not an Aver, and really it should not contaminate at all. But Gezerah She'ein in Nisperes, Atu Nisperes. It's a rabbinic decree that since this extra finger that's from a dead person, even though it wasn't on the row of fingers, so it's not an aver, but if we're going to say that it's tar, we might come to confuse it when it is on the row of, and you say, oh, extra fingers, oh, they're not contaminated. But when it's Nisperes, then it is. So we will Gezer in Nisperes, Atu Nisperes. And that has to come out. Well, Ihach, if that's the case, then She'ein in Nisperes, then when it's not on the same row of the other fingers, Boil nami the tami. Rabbinically, this gezerah, so then it should contaminate also in the oil, because you're saying it's a gezerah, atu nesperes, and nesperes is metam boil, so then the gezerah should apply by oil too. So the Gemara, no, Avdi Rabban Haikera. The rabbis made a differentiation, an awareness, that ki hechadur lo lesarfa liar truma b'kachim, that we shouldn't, if let's say truma b'kachim, when they become tame, it has to be burnt. But that's only by biblical tuma. Rabbinic is only a concern. Now, if one would come in contact truma b'kachim with this extra bone that's in the spares like abayad, we don't want them to burn truma b'kachim because it's not biblically tame. So therefore, we made a differentiation to say, okay, it's going to be tama b'maga amasa, so you realize, hey, this might be problematic, but you'll know that it's not the biblical tama because it's not a tama b'oil, and therefore we won't come to burn it when truma b'kachim comes in contact with this extra finger that doesn't have a fingernail and one's not in the spares agabayad. Now, Katiran related to this discussion, it's not hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Alis that says, Reiv bin Yonai v'reiv min Yonai shel mes, which we referenced this halacha before, the majority of the structure or the majority of the quantity of the body of a dead person, of the bones, ava b'she'im b'reiva, even if that this quantity, again, whether it's Reiv binyan or Reiv binyan, doesn't even have a quarter of a kav of bone, which that's also a certain minimum measurement usually there is for the element of tuma. Tamein, it's still going to be tamei if these Reiv binyan or Reiv minyan of this dead person is in that oil. Now, Tanan bar Amanda Braisa qualifying this Mishnah, Ezehu Reiv binyanai, what's considered majority of the structure, is Shnei Shukayim b'yerech echad, if it's two shin bones and one thigh bone. Hoyel v'Reiv gavai b'gadol, since that's the majority of the height of an adult, where the majority of the height of a regular a large person, when he's not a dwarf in his limbs, is his two shin bones and his one thigh bone, which that's the majority of the height of the body, if we're not considering the head. Because regarding binyan hames, the structure of a dead person, we don't consider the head as the Bryson always teaches, what's binyanai? So it says hashakayim, bayurchayim, and the tzlois with the rib cage and the shed, the spine, but it doesn't mention the head. So the majority of that body is these two shin bones and one thigh bone. And that would be metama b'oil. And the Zehu Reiv Minyanai, what's the majority of its quantity? It's Kuf Chof Hei, it's 125 bones. And that is the Gemara, Omle Ravina L'Rava, Tana Minyana Oslash Minna, the Tana Bryce is coming to tell us numbers, basic arithmetic. What do you mean? We know there's a Ramachai Varm, there's 248 limbs, so obviously majority is 125. So what's the Tana Bryce coming to teach us? So he says, Kamash Melon Kedetanya, what he's coming to teach us like regarding what we learned in the following Bryce. The Bryce says, Chaser She'im Be'el Messiah. If someone is actually missing and only has 200, where he was created missing in every single hand and every single foot, missing two fingers, which is for a total of 8 fingers now. In every finger, there's 6 bones, as it's taught in Masechtas Alis. So therefore, he's missing from his fingers 48 bones, so he's only left with 200 out of the 248. Or, v'yeser, she'esh b'messayim u'shmayin b'echad, or someone has actually extra bones, where they have 281. For example, a woman who was born with 4 extra fingers, meaning one in every hand and foot. So that's 4 extra fingers. And as we just said, in every finger, there's 6 bones, for a total of 24 more bones. Now, additionally, as we're going to shortly quote, a woman has 5 extra bones where these 2 hinges and 2 doors and 1 key, as they're called. So that 29 more limbs added onto the regular 248 would come out to be 277, which Rashi says the 4 extra ones, he says, doesn't know what those are, because most definitely every finger there's only six more bones. But that would make a possibility of someone that has 281 limbs. So and that says the Braisa, Kulon, all these extra bones are considered limbs. And they are oilin leminikov chofei. They're considered for the number of 125, which that's a chiddush telling us that even though 125 bones is not the majority of that person's limbs, because that person has 281, even so, 125 is going to be considered majority. Now the same thing is also for the one who's missing. Although his majority is already at 101, still we're not going to be considering as a majority of his limbs to be metam b'ayil unless there's 125. Because zil basa ruba d'enshi, go after the majority of people who they have ramach 248, and therefore 125 is the magic number. That's what the Bryce is teaching you. Right? We know that's basic arithmetic. But we're saying even for people that have more or less, the number is going to be 125. However, Amar b'Yehuda Mishmul says Ma'isim mitamidav shel Rabbi Shmuel. There was a story with the students of Rabbi Shmuel. Shasholku zoyna achas. They boiled a harlot. Sheneschay v'sreif al melech. Who she was? It was commanded to be burnt by the king, and they boiled her body. And badku umatzu ba'masayim v'chamisha mishnayim. And they found in her body 252 bones. So Amalehem, so Rabbi Shmuel said to them, although this, we say this 248, maybe the body, the corpse that you checked for the limbs was a woman. Oh, that's not difficult. Because the Pasuk added onto her two hinges and two doors, as the Gemara brings Tanya in the Braisa. He says, Kashem should tzirim labayis, just like there's hinges by a house. Kach tzirim leisha, so there's this hinges, so to speak, by a woman. Shem, like the pasuk says, Shmuel Alf says, "Vaticher v'teila," that she kneeled and she gave birth. Kinepchu alehu tzireha, because her hinges had turned on her, opening up the womb to give birth. So you see, there's these hinges which are like these types of limbs in a woman's body. Pshua, he says, Kashem should losses labayis, just like there's doors in the house. Kach losses leisha, so there's doors in the woman. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Eve. Because Hashem didn't close the doors of my womb, of my stomach, meaning referring to that of his mother, where we see there's these doors inside the woman. Kiva, I mean, he says, Kishim Shemaftech Labai, says, just like there's a key for the house, Kech Maftech Leisha, so there's a key to the woman. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis, the Yiftach Esrach, Hashem opened up her womb, there's a key inside that opens up. Again, that these are references to these limbs that there are extra in the woman. Now, the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Kiva, that he said that there's this extra limb called a key, thus making a total by a woman's body 253 limbs. So Kasha de Tamid Rabbi Shmuel, that's difficult in this, the incident of the student Rabbi Shmuel, that they only found in the woman 252. Says the Gemara, no, Dilma, I did the Zutra, since maybe this bone, which is the key, is small, so maybe itmuche mitmach, maybe got dissolved because of the boiling process, and maybe therefore they didn't find that, but maybe there really is 253 in the woman's body. Now, Amar Rab, he says, v'kulam, but all these extra limbs that there are in the woman's body, more than the male, ein metamim ba'oil, those bones, those avarim, do not contaminate in the oil, when you have only that limb itself that has a little bit of flesh on it. Shtem, because the pasuk says, Mamidbar, it says, zaysater, this is the law, adum kiyamis ba'oil, a man when he will die in the oil, which is the halach of tumas oil, which teaches us, dava hasham l'chal adam, only something that will be equal by all people, a man who doesn't have those limbs, therefore it's not equal by all, therefore those limbs, extra limbs by woman, will not be metami in the oil. Now, Amalei Abaya asks, upe ish leka, is it really true that a man doesn't have these extra limbs? But v'ksiv, the pasuk says, Nishai, it's sirim achazuni, that a man says that the hinges have grabbed hold of me, kitsire yaleda, like the hinges or like the travails of birth, you see that a man also has tzirim. Says the Gemara, no, tziri basar. It's talking about hinges of flesh, which is not considered a limb without a bone, so although he has this extra, but it's only a flesh, therefore it's not an aver that a man has. But the Gemara continues, but v'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Daniel that says, Adoni, my master, Bamara, in a vision, nepchu tzire, my hinges turned on me. So you see that a man has tzirim too. Achanami tzir basa, here also says the Gemara, these are only hinges of flesh, therefore it's not considered an extra aver by a man. Says the Gemara in Hachanam Estab, it's logical to say that it's only a woman has, not a man, because the Ilay Temach, if you don't say this, then Messiah by Arba Mishmaina, Hechem Mishkachasla. Then where are you going to find this, that we know this tradition that there's 248 limbs? Loi be'ish, loi be'ish, then it's not going to be in a man or in a woman. Obviously, a man is the one who has Ramach Evarim, and the woman has, again, either extra four or extra five more limbs than a man. We continue to Tamid Beis, where the Mishnah had said, Yes, if a person has extra fingers on his hands and his feet, so he said, Machlekes, if that's considered a mum or not. Now, Amr B'Yitzchak, he says, V'shnei Mikra Echad Darshan, both opinions actually are expounding their source from the same Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. It says, V'tehi Oid Melchama, and the Gir says, Bagas, that there was another war in Gas, which is the name of a place, V'hi Ish Modern, and there was a man of measurements, large person, Etzba Yadav, Etzba Raglav, Shesh V'shesh, in his fingers of his hands and his feet, there were six that were going to be extra, which there was an extra one on each hand and each foot. Now, Mar Savar Biganusim Ishtoi, the Chacham held that the Pasuk is talking derogatory about this person, that he had extra limbs, and therefore we see that's considered a blemish. Umar Sav Bishivchim Ishtoi, but you don't know. It's talking about the praise, that look at this person, look how mighty he was, that he even had extra fingers that would help him, and therefore he considers it as nanamum. Now, Amar Rabbi asked on the Pasuk that we bring, which is actually, we said, was the terminology we used in our Mishnah. Mali dechsiv shesh v'shesh. Why does it have to say six and six instead of five and five in every hand and foot? Esrim v'arba mispra, the total count of 24. We know that if we're going to add it up, we know that's going to come to that amount. Why does it have to say that? So the Gemara Tzrichi know is necessary. Because of Rechmanah shesh v'shesh, we only said six and six. Savimina shisti yad v'shisti kari. I would have thought to say that he had six on one hand and six on one foot. but not more than that, and that he didn't have on both hands and both feet. Kastav Esther and Ba'ar, but that's why it says 24, to say that no, is an extra on each hand and each foot for a total of 24. Now, because of Esther and Ba'ar, and how we said 24, Havimina hu chamesh mahai gisa, v'shev mahai gisa. So you can get to that same number, 24, not necessarily equal on each one. I would say, okay, one had 5 and one had 7. Kastav Shesh v'shesh, therefore it said 6 and 6 to say that it was equal by each one. And when it says misper, what does that word come to say? That's benisperes al-gabayah, like we said in the Halacha of the Mishnah, that this, that we would say that it would be considered as a problem, or that it would be considered normal, this was only if it was according to the same order of the other fingers on the hand, that was when it would qualify as an aver, but again, if not, then it wouldn't be considered as an aver. Tanya Linda Braisa, that Amar Bihuda, who he had said that it's actually a shvach, that it's not a problem, as we said in the Mishnah, by having an extra finger on the hand or the foot, says, it says, it was such a story, or such a person came in front of Reb Tarfon, that yesterday had an extra finger on his hands and his feet, sheish v'sheish, 6 and 6, which was esen v'arba, which was a total of 24. And Amalai, he said to him, people like you should be increased amongst the Jewish people. So you see that this is considered not a moment, to the contrary, it was praiseworthy. Amalai Rabbi Yisi, so Rabbi Yisi said to him, Misham Raya, from that story it's a proof. Kach Amalai, no, this is what he told him. Kamaischa, like you, Yismatu Mamzeri v'Nesinim Yisrael, should be decreased, the illegitimate children and the Nesinim from the Jewish people, meaning every Mamz in the Jewish people should be just like you, that it should be recognizable that they come from a flawed seed, and that people shouldn't cling to them because they'll know that there's a problem with this person, that look, he even has an extra limb, which to the contrary, that we see that that's considered a blemish in the person and not a shvach. Now the Mishnah said, Hashele b'shtei yadav. Someone is ambidextrous. If someone has equal control in both hands, so we had a machlekes in the Mishnah, that's considered mumana. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa, that first iter, if someone is left-handed, meaning instead of being dominant in the right, they're dominant in the left. Bein b'yad, bein b'regel, whether it's with his hand or whether with his feet, by the feet, what that would mean is when he walks, he first moves the left foot, which is not normal by most people, where they firstly usually move their right foot first, which is the more dominant. So if he's left-handed or left-footed, then puzzle, that's going to be a psul. Because iter yad, if he's a lefty with his hand, that's a psul, because the pasuk says, v'tabal etzbay, the kohen should dip his finger, which the Gemara in Zvachim Dav Chavdal Manav tells us, whenever it says etzba and says kohen, it means the right hand. And here he uses the left hand, so that's a psul. And it's a regal when he is more dominant with his left foot is also absurd because it says lamed l'sharis. He should stand and serve, which is like all other standings, which predominantly he puts his weight on his right foot, and here he's putting it on the left foot because he's a lefty, therefore that's absurd, b'yada b'regal. Now, going back to the Halach of Mishnah, continues the Braisa, shel b'shtei yadav, the son, however, is dominant in both hands. Rabbi says that's a mum, and the Chacham says it's kasha. The Gemara explains, Mar sava kishusa askala b'yamin. Rabbi held, why is he dominant in both hands? Because it's a weakness that started in his right hand, so the left hand is compensating. Oh, so that's a mum. Mar sava the Rabban held, no, b'yusa askala b'smala. No, it's just an extra strength to the contrary that he has in the left hand, but it's not a diminishment in the right hand, therefore that's not a mum. To the contrary, if anything, he has more strength in a different one, and therefore that would be valid for a kohen. The Gemara continues with the next mission, again, continuing the theme of this parak regarding blemishes regarding a kohen. Hakushi, hagichur, v'alafkin, as we'll see in the Gemara, these are different skin complexions. Ovakipeach, the Gemara is going to explain also what that is. Ovahananis, or a dwarf, a midget. Or v'acheresh, if a deaf mute. Or v'ashaitor, if he's mentally deranged. Or v'ashikor, if he's intoxicated, he's drunk. Ubal negum tarim, or if he has pure negoim, like what's called sapachas, because if we're talking about a nega that it's tame, like tsaras, we wouldn't have to tell you that that's a mumin negoim, because he can't even go into that zara, he'd be liable to karas. So we're talking about, no, it's a nega that's tar, but it's still a nega, it's an affliction. So psulim be'adam k'shem be'behema, these categories that we just described are invalidations by a person, by a kohen doing the avodah, but an animal that would have these things, that would be kasha. But Rabbi Shimon Lilim, he says, Shaitim in the behema inim in the mufcha. No, a mentally deranged animal is not the choicest type of animal to bring as a carbon. Now, Rabbi Lazar, he says, Af bali hadil dulin. Also, those that they have pieces of flesh that are hanging from them, psulim be'adim k'shem be'behema. That's okay by an animal. That's an invalidation for a person to be doing the avodah. Now, the Gemara explains the opening categories of our Mishnah. Kushi is uchma, meaning he's black. Gicher is chiver, that he's white, extra white. Lavkin is sumka, that is very red, meaning like that of a rose. That asks the Gemara, is that so? But Vahuda Amar Luhu, there was a person who was telling them, Man boy lav kiyoni, who wants to buy this lav kiyoni? Vishtakeh chivra, and it turned out that he was selling these extra white lambs. So you see that lav kani is not red, but actually white. So the Rabbi Gemara amends and says, yeah, kushi, like we said, is uchma, is black. Gicher is sumka. Gicher is the red one. Because Amar Inshi, like people say, sumka, regarding a red one, they say gichya, which is a similar type of word. And lavkan is chivrit. Lavkan is the white one. Kehud amalu, like that, who said to the other ones, man boy lavkiyani, who wants lavkiyani? Vishtakeh chivrit found out that it was very white, and therefore those are the invalidations, the kind of his extra black, white, or red. Now, Vishnah Katina says, kipeach. So what's that? Tan Rav Zvi, torn the brisa, gevaya, means if he's very tall. Says Gemara, is that so, being extra tall as a mum? But Tan Rav Bevav, Revav, torn the brisa, minayin shakadosh baruch hu mishtabeach bebalikayim. Where do you find that kadosh baruch hu is like saying Yiddish barimtzich, that it actually, that it's, he praises those that are very tall, and that it's something beautiful, not the otherwise. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Amis, says, v'nechi hishmadati esamayim mepneim, that I destroyed the Emori, those people from in front of the Jewish people, like their height is the height of a cedar, which was saying, look, they were so distinguished, and yet Hashem cut them down for the Jewish people. So you see that height is a beautiful thing, not a blemish. So my papa says, yeah, but Baricha Shmita Sanya, what we're talking about in the Mishnah is that this kohen is very tall and thin, where he's not thick according to his height. Since he's very thin, so he can't maintain his height and he gets bent over and it looks like his spinal vertebrae is sticking out, that's the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah of Kippeach, which is considered a mum. Now, continuing on these themes, Amar Shlokish, he says, Gevayla Yisa Gevayis, a very tall man should not marry a very tall woman. Shema Yitzim in turn, maybe the child they're going to have is going to be like a mast, meaning very high and tall up. Nanas la yisa nanasas, a dwarf should not marry a female dwarf. Shema yatzimim etzboi, maybe they can have a child the size of a finger. Lovin la yisa lavana, a white man, extra white man, should not marry a white woman. Shema yatzimim baik, maybe they have an extra white child. Shachal la yisa shchayra, a black, very black person should not marry a very black woman. Shema yatzimim tefuch, maybe they have a child that's black like a pot. Now the Mishnah said, other mumim is hacheresh, hasheitev, hashikr, if the kain is deaf-mute, mentally deranged, or intoxicated, that these are considered blemishes in the kain. Now the Gemara wonders regarding shikr, regarding an intoxicated kain, but that's machal avayda. Such a kain, if he does the avayda, he desecrates the service. Like the pasuk says in Meyuka Yud, it says, yayim v'sheicher al teish, don't drink wine and hard beverages. And it says after that, to separate between the holy and the profane, which teaches us that if he does the avodah, it's mechal the avodah. It's a desecration of the avodah. So therefore, bahadi mumi de mechili avodah boi lemechshav. This should have been counted in those types of blemishes that desecrates the service by which is the most severe type of mumin, like those mumin of the previous parak of that relating to animals. The thing is, but the topic of our parak from in our Mishnah, we're talking about those blemishes that are only what's called the middle category because they're not similar to the other seed of Aaron, which we said in the beginning of the parak that that's the middle category, which is not mechal d'avodah. So why are we counting shikr, which is even mechal d'avodah? Says the Gemara, b'shar d'varm ha-mashakrim. We're talking about he's intoxicated from other beverages that intoxicate, but not wine. U'deloik Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who he equates other intoxicating beverages with the halachas of wine, which is mechal d'avodah. As the Gemara says, Masechtas Kris, Rabbi Gimlan Beis, regarding wine, there's death, if one does d'avodah. Regarding other hard beverages, hard liquor, that's azhar, that's a negative prohibition. Now, where do we know that from? Because it says, sheikher al-tesh, don't drink a hard intoxicating beverage. And it says after that, if that's the source for the hard beverages, ulahavdu ben akadish ben achayl. So obviously, according to Behuda, that other intoxicating beverages are also mechal davayda, because it has to separate from kadish and chayl, and obviously it is mechal. At the time, like, learn the braisa. Achal devei lekilis, if someone eats the from this place called keilis, which is these hard cakes of figs, which they're intoxicating like wine, these dates, v'shasa chalav oidvash, and he drinks milk or honey, which milk could also be intoxicating, and honey refers to this drink called med, which is water and honey that are cooked together, and nechnes lemikdash chayiv, and it goes into the base of mikdash, he's chayiv malkus. Like Rabbi Yehuda, who the Gemara explains over there in Masechtas Krisis, that says over there that regarding other intoxicating beverages is a negative prohibition, but says, al teish, don't drink this. Now, since it's referring to other intoxicating beverages, so obviously it's Machal Davaida, because right after that says, Bein HaKadosh, Bein HaChayil. Now, our Mishnah that does not count them as the Avoida of a Shikr that's Machal the Avoida, obviously it's not like a Yehuda, and therefore that's why we say Shikr in this category, but in the Shavu Bazar Shal Aaron, that's not Machal the Avoida, and not in those moments that would be considered Machal the Avoida. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Elu Kashem Ba'adam Upsulim Be'behema. These are considered valid for a person and invalid for an animal, which are Oisav Es Benoi, to have the parent and the child on the same day, that's possible by a carbon because of Mechuz Zman. The child cannot be brought or the parent, whichever one second, to be sacrificed on that same day. You have to wait to the following day. Therefore, that would be a psul by behema. Trefa, if it has a mortal defect, is a psul by a carbon behema, which is not the case by a person. V'yetzidayfen, if it's born through Caesarean, again, these are psul by behema, but kasha by adam. V'shenev de behen aver, if a sin was done with it, is a psul with an animal. Vishemis is Adam, and if it killed a person. Now, continues the Mishnah about Nisi Nushim Ba'Aveira. A Kayin who married a woman in sin, where, let's say, a divorcee or a Chalutza, which is a woman that had Chalitza done with her, and her husband died without any children from her brother in law, which is forbidden for a Kayin to marry, Pasul, that invalidates the Kayin to do the Avoida. Achi Adiren Hano, until he vows to forbid any benefit from her, which then ultimately that means he's getting divorced from her, and then he'll be able to do the Avoida. Now, similarly, Vav Metame LeMeisim Pasul, which is another prohibition on the kohen. If he makes himself tummy to dead people, he's invalid to do the Avoida. Achi Yikabel Lav Shalei Metame LeMeisim, until he accepts upon himself not to be Metame to dead people, and only then will we allow him to go ahead and do the Avoida. Now, the Mishnah said, Ve'elu Kashen Ba'adam. We said this first category, with these are things that are okay by a person, but are problematic by an animal. Now, the first one was Eisav Es Benoi. So the Gemara one is, my Eisav Es Benoi. We understand why that's absurd by Behema, that you now let us slaughter the mother and the child on the same day. But what is that, what we're saying, that by a person, by a kohen, that's kosher, that it, the parent and the child, together. Elam Aaron Avanav, if it means to say that Aaron and the sons can do that avodah together. So the kavasei, tiyash benai, so the parallel by an animal would mean, also, the father, the male goat, and its son. So not ask the Gemara, minog, actually, is there a prohibition of an animal, abayisavis benai, with the father and the son? But Vatanu in the Braisa, Isav Es Benoi, the prohibition of slaughtering the parent and the child, Noig bin Akevis is only with the mother and the son, then Noig bischar, but does not apply to males. Salat Yasha Benoi, rather, would be referring to a female mother and its son. The Kavasa, Hacha, Kahanis Abinah, so then the parallel by the person would be the mother Kahanis and her son. But not as the Gemara Kahanis Basa Vaidhi, so what would that relate to say that it's Kasher by Kahanim? His mother and him are not doing the avodah at the same time because the mother, the woman, doesn't do the avodah. So it says Gemara Lo'ilam Aaron Avanav. Truthfully, it means Aaron and his sons. The Kavasah Chatiyash Ben Ayev. So the parallel by an animal that's possible would be the male goat and its son, because Ami B'Marav Mishmed Rabbi Yisbar Oven. In the West, they said the name of Rabbi Yisbar Oven. That Ada Amr. This tells us that Chananyihi. That the Halacha of Mishnah is like Chananya. The Tanya like learned the Brisa. Aisav Es Benoi. This prohibition of slaughtering the parent and the child. Says the Tanakama, Noig bin Akevis ve'in Noig bischarm, only applies to females, but not to males. Chananya Oimer says, Noig bischarm, it applies to males, meaning the father with either the son or the daughter, uven Akevis, and with females. And therefore, that's what the Halacha of Mishnah is talking about. That's a problem by animals, but not a problem with a parent and a child to do that avodah together on the same day. Now, the Mishnah said later on, Vanoisi Nasha Mechulu, if someone marries women forbidden to them, so then, until they make a neder, they're going to be forbidden to do the avodah. Now, Tanu Lin Nabraisa, but that even if he didn't divorce her yet, he's permitted to do the avodah from when he took a vow that he's not going to benefit from her and she's not going to benefit from him. Then he could go ahead and do the avodah and yeri to megarish. And then when he finishes the avodah, he comes down and he divorces her. So that is the Gemara. How do we permit him to do the avodah that way? But maybe he'll do a trick. He'll take the neder and then we'll let him do the avodah. But then afterwards, he's going to go to a sage who will permit the neder for him and will say, oh, okay, you can be mata neder. And it says, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. And he's permitted now, and he's not going to be bound anymore by the neder. And then he won't get divorced from this forbidden wife. Says the Gemara, no, Ksava, the Tana held that someone who's coming to permit his vow, tzarech lefared as a neder, he has to specify what the vow is that the sage is permitting regarding what did he make a vow. When the sage hears that it's because of this forbidden woman that he took the vow, so then he's not going to permit the vow, and therefore he'll have to go ahead and divorce his wife. But that is the Gemara, Hanich Lemanda Metzarech Lefared as a neder, but that's only good according to the one who holds that you have to specify the vow. Lemandama ain't Tzarech Lefared as a neder, but according to the one that holds you don't have to specify the vow, you could just say, I have a vow that I want to undo, So then Ma'ikla Mem, what are you going to say? He doesn't want to violate that Isser, and the only way to stay married is to have benefit from each other, but he'll just get it permitted. Says the Gemara, it's talking about the Madrinan Liberam, is where they took the vow in public. In public, then he's not going to be able to nullify it. That is the Gemara, Hanichle Mandam and Ned Deshur Liberam in Lafar. That's only good according to the one who holds that a vow taken in public cannot be nullified, which this is the Machlekes and Mesechtes Gittin of Memelov Maraf regarding someone that divorced his wife because of a vow. So that would make sense. Okay, so he can't be mafered, so he'll be stuck. He'll have to divorce her. According to the one who holds that you could still nullify it, what are you going to say? He'll do that, but he'll come down and he'll nullify it. Says the Gemara, it's talking about the as we continue to Mevam Manav, lay adasram. We're talking about that, he took the vow that he's not going to have benefit from her with the consciousness and the consent of the public. Because as Amar Meimer said, Hilchas Halacha is, even according to the one who holds, that a vow taken in public could be nullified. Al das harab mein lafar, but it was taken on the consciousness of the public, that cannot be nullified. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies, when did we say that you cannot be mefer? A ned that was hudur al das rabim, that's only dvar hashus, that's only for a voluntary thing. Avol dvar mitzvah yesh lafar, but if it's for a mitzvah purpose, then even then it could be nullified. As the Gemara says, kiahu de mikri dardiki, like there was a certain teacher of young children, that Abdi Ravacha took a vow that he's not going to be able to teach young children anymore. Why? The kapasha biyanuki, because he was hurting the children, he was hitting them and they were dying. But Vahad Ravina then brought that teacher back. Because Dole Ashkech Davidai Kavasei, he nullified the vow because they didn't find a teacher that was as precise as that teacher. And therefore we see that even though we say Al Das Ram cannot be Mufer, but if it was for a mitzvah purpose, like here teaching the young children Torah, then they were able to be made for that ned. Now, the Mishnah continued and says, and similarly, Vamitam Lameisim V'chulu, if someone, a kohen, was making himself tummy to dead people, maybe he was making money off that, he was a gravedigger. So we say he can't do that vaydah because he's violating the Isra of Kanim until he accepts upon himself that he's not going to do it anymore. So the Gemara wonders, Maishna Hacha, why over here in this case? The Sagili by Kabbalah, that was enough just to make an acceptance without a vow. Or Maishna Hasim, the Madrinle, and why in the first case, regarding that he was married to a woman in sin, which is a different violation of Kanim, that we make him take a vow? Says the Gemara, Hasim over there by women, Yitzri Takfai, his inclination, it overpowers him to stay married in sin to this woman, and therefore we obligate a higher level of acceptance that of taking a neder. In contrast to Bimitam al-Mason, which is not such a great desire, a Kabbalah is enough, and then he can go ahead and do that Avodah. Hanulach Mumin Elu, which I return to the seventh parak in Masechtas Bechorah, is parak Mumin Elu, which spoke primarily about the blemishes relating to a person, and that concludes the seventh parak in Masechtas Bechorah.